You've been teaching on the subject of growing up spiritually. And in doing so, we're going to talk tonight in an area dealing with spiritual growth, because it's something that's said in the Word we want to look at, because there needs to be a difference. There's things that are spoken of in Scripture sometimes, and people just, we can sort of run things together, sort of get a different an idea that something that something's talking about that it's not. And it's one of the things that I learned in Bible school. We had a Cooper Beatty was a gentleman who was an excellent teacher, a very detailed teacher. I really liked him. One of the things that he taught us, he said, you know, when you teach and teaching the Word, he said, learn to define your terms. In other words, make sure that people know what you're talking about. It's one of the things if you noticed over time, I use a lot of definitions on words. It's important because lots of times we use words and we put words out there and people have all different kinds of meanings. And especially today, man, they're always taking words and making them mean something that has nothing to do with it, you know. And, you know, something today is cool, hot, this, that, and it has nothing to do with temperature, don't have anything to do. But we do, people use terms of things, of all kinds of stuff. But we want to look in the Word, because we have been talking, we were talking about the baby Christian, we were talking about a Christian, maybe in a sort of, we'd call it in the adolescent stages, and then being a mature Christian. But we're going to talk about something today the Scripture uses in reference to the natural man, which is important for us to understand, especially we as believers. I've talked about some of these things before, but we'll go into detail about this. And I want to use the Scripture. We're going to go into 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. We want to look at something that's said here that'll help you understand some things, because we're going to find that we're breaking into a place here in the second chapter where the Apostle Paul, writing to the church, he's talking to them as Christians, but he makes a reference here to something that is important for us to understand. And I'm going to start at verse 12. We could turn around and read the whole chapter, but verse 12, we're going to break into it here. It says, now we, speaking of believers, he's talking about believers when he's saying we as believers, he said, have received not the spirit of the world. Now, the world, he's talking about the spirit that runs the world system, and this system, the fallen system, the system that's under Satan's domination. So we have received not the spirit of the world. We didn't receive that one, but we've received the Spirit who is from God, that we believers might know the things that have been freely given to us. So the Holy Spirit, his working in us is to teach us what God's given to us. That's what he's going to do. Now in verse 13 it says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. So he says, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now this is important. The Holy Spirit does not teach you natural stuff. He's not teaching the natural. He teaches you things that pertain to the Spirit. That's what he's teaching. You know, we were created, man was created in this world, and man does a lot of things, but there's a lot of stuff people say that God gives people to do is not necessarily at all. The Holy Spirit don't teach you those things. He's not working those. It's just our natural ability. We're created in the likeness and image of God. We can do things, and living in this earth can do stuff. You know, people can choose a lot of what they want to learn and do. You know, is we need to understand. Because he says here, now this is what the Holy Spirit does. He teaches you things. But now listen what he says in verse 14. I want you to get it, because he makes this statement. He says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now he makes the term here, the natural man. The natural man is the man under the fallen world system, is what he's talking about. He's the natural man. Because we're going to see, he judges a difference. Then listen to this, verse 15. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The natural man, the condition we need to understand is looking at this natural man. This natural man, he doesn't receive things of the Spirit. He doesn't receive them. as we go in and look at this, you need to understand dealing with an unsaved person. This is why you've heard me say this many times. You can't teach unsaved people. We don't try to teach them the Bible. What we do, the unsaved person is supposed to be preach the gospel to be saved, so they can then understand. The Holy Spirit can begin to teach them. The Holy Spirit does not teach sinners. Therefore, you can't either. We don't teach them. We preach the gospel to them, and you need to understand that. People come along who are not saved, and they may ask you all kinds of questions. Understand, you're basically wasting your time trying to explain things to them. Because the Holy Spirit is not teaching them. They can't get it. You need to know the difference between... See, the Bible deals with two classes of people. Never, from a scriptural standpoint, is the natural man considered ever to be spiritual. He's never spiritual. And why? Because he's dominated by his senses. He's dominated. When Adam sinned, Adam became dominated by his natural senses. The natural man dominates. Every sinner is dominated by his natural state of how his senses. And his knowledge and everything is based on the sense realm. That's why, you know, we have today in our country is one of the things that so much is moving. They think Christians are crazy and we need to get rid of Christianity. Why? Because most people are all natural. Most people who claim to be Christians are not. They are natural. There's a difference. It's like Jesus spoke to Kenneth Hagin and told him. He said, concerning the church. And he said to this back in the, I think it was around in the 1960s sometime. And Jesus said to him, he said, there are many conversions concerning Christianity. But he said, few births. See, there's many people convert to Christianity from a natural perspective. They naturally believe. Their senses, natural senses, they say, well, Jesus, you know, we believe in Jesus. And that's, but it's all natural. It has nothing to do. It's no spiritual. They've never been born again. And they have, that's why they go out and live and do all this stuff. That's why people, the homosexuality and all that's accepted today, is because they're fleshly. When they talk about the love of God and God loving everybody, it's all natural love. It has nothing to do with the love of God. The love of God hates sin. Jesus died for the sinner, but he hates sin. Love. Is God love? Well, the Bible says God hates sin. So we know this, that love hates sin. Do you ever hear them say that? No, well, you know why? Don't make sense. Because love, their love is, oh, we just like everybody and everything, and we're open to everybody. And we're diverse. That means, diverse means this. We're all pervert scumbag, and we'll accept anything. That's what diverse means. Diverse is a perversion. And so we look at Christianity, it's weird. We know this, that now the scriptures, Paul said concerning this natural man, that the things of God, they're foolishness. It doesn't make sense. See, faith does not make sense to a person who's not spiritual. It doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense to believe that one cannot see, touch, taste, smell. That doesn't make any sense. Why would you believe that? It doesn't make sense. Yet even they do it, but don't even know that they do it. They believe somebody tells them something happened. They haven't seen it, heard it. Somebody said it, and so they just run off and believe it. Go tell people. See, they act in faith toward things, but yet they'll turn around and you tell them, from, you know, God, believing God, they'll say, oh, that's weird, believing in you. You don't say it. Our science all the time, scientists are telling us things all the time that they do studies and they'll turn around and their equipment tells them certain things and they'll talk about things actually that they cannot see, but they say it exists. They can't see it. And they'll say that they'll come up with theories. They live in this world out here and it's so much of it's fake. And they don't realize it. It's you know, this thing that they see and they think that we're weird because of what we believe. And but see, they're not spiritual. For them to understand spiritual things, it doesn't make sense. That's why even if you get around Christians who aren't taught spiritual things, that's why you talk spiritual things to them and it just don't make any sense to them. Most Christians are taught like a natural man. They're taught, most of Christianity today is psychology. It's not spirituality. They don't talk spirituality. Most of them believe most of the Word of God already stopped and quit. It don't work anymore. This stuff, we don't do this stuff anymore. You know, we don't heal, do all this kind of, no miracles, none of this stuff. No, we don't do none of this stuff anymore. Why? It's all natural. God gave us doctors now. That's the belief. I mean, that's just the way that it is. But we're, what we're dealing with here. So, now, Paul said they can't understand it. They don't understand these things. They don't understand them. Why? Because of this reason. It is spiritually understood. And you, this is the thing that you need to learn if you want to develop spiritually. Because it said that it's spiritually understood. If you want to understand things from God and get the Holy Spirit does not give you revelation to your mind. He does not do that. Revelation comes to your heart, to the inner man. Your inner man conveys it to your mind. The Holy Spirit doesn't. Your own spirit does that. It is conveyed. All revelation comes to the inner man. That's where the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit was conveying it to your mind, then He'd be in your brain. He's not. God communes with your spirit. God does not commune with your body. He communes with your spirit. That's how He does. The life that God works in. See, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead makes our body alive. How? Through our spirit. That's how it does. It is through the life of God that's in our spirit brings effect to our body, but it's through our own spirit walking in faith with the one that's in us. That's how it works. It's about on the inside. And you know, when you start to understand that, see, that's why is most Christian, especially, I've noticed this. The more you get into educated societies, the more societies become educated. They don't have to do this. But the more they become educated, they become more mental in their operation. And the Christians do become more mental in their operations than they do spiritual. Now, you don't have to, but people just generally do. I mean, they get more into reasoning powers about things and try to mentally figure everything out instead of receiving revelation and walking in the light of its truth. That's, they tend to leave that. So don't, you know, the thing to me that is wonderful is I don't have to figure out, when I find it dawned on me, I don't have to figure out the Word of God. I have to figure it out. What I have to do is I get a revelation. All I have to do is believe it. That's all I got to do. I just have to believe it. And if I'll act in faith with that, it'll work. It will work. I don't have to figure it out. I don't have to know everything. And you're going to find this out. God's never going to tell you it all. He tells you things in parts. He tells you things in parts. Why? Always so you walk in faith. He'll never tell you the whole thing. He'll tell you a step at a time. What He does, He wants you to walk that. See, it's not based on, well, I know everything, how it's going to happen, so... Well, then it would, if you knew it, everything was going to happen, you wouldn't have to walk in faith, would you? Wouldn't be no faith involved in it. But He wants you to walk in faith. And I found that out, especially when I started the first times, you know, traveling to other countries. And you go to other countries where you don't have as much education. I always found out that it was amazing the things that God did through people there because of their simplicity. They just trusted in God because they hadn't come to the place where they were just all mental giants and, you know, understanding everything. And they were just very simplistic about things of God. And they would very easily just believe what the Word said. Very easily believe what it said and go ahead and do it. And it was amazing. And the things that you could do there in ministry to them because of that, it was simple to do things. It was just totally different. I'd come back to the United States. I would go to another country and minister, do all kinds of stuff, come back to the United States, and you couldn't do 1% of what you could do. And it's just trying to mentally figure everything out, trying to keep things simple. You know, when people refer to faith as a child, having faith as a child, well, the faith of a child is, a child isn't trying to figure everything out. You know, they just believe, you know, they just believe mom and dad's going to give them supper. They don't go, oh dear dad, please give me. They just naturally, and it is. I mean, you do that in simplicity, and think of the simplicity of God. If we would act in that way, we're just in simplicity. God's going to take care of me, you know. Now, people get into intercession, trying to get themselves to believe God's going to take care of something. Could you imagine if you had children, your children act that way towards you? You'd think they were idiots. You'd think, what is wrong with them? you know. They're begging and whining and squalling and bawling for 20 hours trying to talk you into something that you do for them every time. It's just going to the thing, that natural simplicity. You know what? God's a good father. He'll take care of me. He's going to look after this thing. There's a lot of things people wouldn't have to. You know, if you just take, if you took the average Christian, you took everything away from him in the Bible, except the 23rd Psalm, he could probably live pretty radically. If he just believed that thing. I'm serious. There's a lot of things I've gotten from God just on like that 23rd Psalm. Just stop and say, hey, Lord, this is what you said. It's going to work. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, no, people are looking now. They're the 127 verses and they're doing all this kind of stuff. And then I got to go to 14 different meetings to try to get this thing to work. And it's like, it's the simplicity. Why? It's a spiritual thing. It's not a mental thing. And as you come back through it, it's just, hey, God said he'd take care of me. Praise God. He's going to take care of me. And so it's being in that place of rest. The natural man doesn't get these things. The natural man, he does. He tries to understand the things of God through his senses, through the outer man. I can't imagine, you know, what it must have been like for Adam and Eve to be spiritually connected to God, and then all of a sudden, you're not anymore. You're darkened. What that must have been like. They're in communion with God, and all of a sudden, they lost it. Now, the senses are dominating, and they've lost this union with God. I know it has to be a pretty terrible thing, because we can see it in Jesus on the cross when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? When our sin was put upon him, he had been in perfect fellowship with God, and that was all of a sudden cut. And to him, he wasn't complaining about the beating. He wasn't complaining about the crucifixion. It was separation from God. He was now no longer in contact with God. He was in the flesh. He had now went over and lost his communion and fellowship with God. And, is David made the statement. He said, don't take your spirit from me. The connection he had with God, I don't want that broken. No, don't do that. You know, you can do a lot of things, God, but don't do that one. Don't do that. And that's a thing that, sadly to say, I think there's many Christians that never really come in contact with their union with God. But ones that do, I would hate to think what it would be that you would have contact, communion, and that hookup with God. I mean, you're at that place. Revelation don't come anymore. Things darken. And it just, boy, I mean, I wouldn't want to think of what that would be like, is to have that. The natural man is in that place. The natural man is an unspiritual physical man. He's just operating through the physical. That's where he is. His nature with God, or his connection to life, he has no connection. God is the life and the light of the world. He is not connected to that. The only connection he has in life, and it sort of really lets you see, is how really in this last day and age we see here, just like you're looking in our nation, all these things that are going on, the craziness of people and stuff. We're seeing it's going into its full manifestation of what it's like with people in darkness who have no connection to God. And it's really on a huge basis, loads and loads of people. And it's really getting into more and more extremes, and you're going to see it going more extremes than what it is. Now, James wrote this, and James, the third chapter. James said some things here that, speaking the believer, but you look in the opposite side of it, we'll see what the difference is between the believer and the non-believer, this natural man, people that are in the natural. See, this is a non-Christian we're talking about, is understanding that. If you get a hold of these things, it'll give you a different, it's like, I look at people in the world today going on with all this nuttiness, and I feel sorry for them. I mean, they're so messed up. They're so messed up. I mean, it's just, James, the third chapter, in verse 13, it said, who is wise and understanding among you? It says, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But he said, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. He said, this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. So understand this. He just told them that the Christian is acting in a wrong way. He said, this bitter envy, self-seeking in your heart. This, he said, is a wisdom that doesn't descend from above. This is the earthly, sensual, demonic. In other words, this is the wisdom of natural men. This is the wisdom of natural men. It's the wisdom of this world, or this earthly system here. The natural man's wisdom is sensual. It's motivated by the senses. That's what it's motivated by. So the natural man's wisdom is demonic. It's demonic. See, we don't, you know, today is one of the worst problems that we have done is trying not to offend people, to not letting people know their real condition. We don't do it to be mean to them. But you know what? Nobody gets saved unless they know their condition. There is no need for salvation if your condition's all right. If you're what, I mean, I heard Spirit-filled ministers say already, well, people are generally good. And I thought, you ain't even good. You're talking demonic and devilish and evil. Men are generally good. I know, till I got saved, I was one of them guys. I wasn't good. My nature, you know, even in doing what we did good, what I did good, I did because if it served me. If it didn't serve me, I wasn't doing it. If it don't benefit, you know how many times I've even had Christians come to this. Well, if I do that, what does that benefit me? I said, it don't matter what it benefits you. It's doing what's right. Amen. If you don't believe doing good ever benefits you, you know, then I wonder about your nature. And that's what I mean. I believe that there's many people that we call Christians who are not. Because there's people, I cannot, people come and say they're Christians and stuff. I can't see that in them. I can't see. Because most everything they do, it's for their own personal gain and their own thing. It's all about them. I just think, I don't see anything in that. They don't have a love for anything else but themselves. They don't do what they do for the benefit of anybody else. You know? And so if it doesn't benefit me, I ain't doing it. And that's the natural man. That's the senses. And so, you know, that's why to me, the term Christian doesn't really mean too much when people say it, because it's become a thing just said anymore. And, because there's things that we have to take the word and measure against these things. So the natural man has a fallen nature, which is motivated by demons and evil spirits. I know there was years ago, this goes back numbers of years here, there was a woman at, used to go to our church, and she said to me one time, and she was one of those people that she never really grabbed a hold of things, and she was a bit hard, stiff-necked and stuff, what she was. But she said one time, talking about different people, you know, their testimonies of things and their life and what they were, she said, well, you know, I don't really have a testimony. She said, I wasn't really bad like that. And I told her, I said, you know, you were worse than me because you thought you were good. You see, this is one thing. It bothers me in people like that because they don't think they needed saved like other people. That I don't think they knew their condition. And it's hard for me to believe that they believe Jesus to be saved. They see themselves as, I'm a pretty good person. And that kind. Well, a person is pretty good. You don't need salvation. You have no need for salvation if you're pretty good. Who did Jesus say he came for? He said, I didn't come for the righteous. I came for the sinner. Yeah, I came to get the sinners. The guy is self-righteousness, and it's like, from her standpoint, was self-righteousness. I told her, you were in worse shape than I was in. I said, I at least come to the point of knowing I needed delivered. You never came to that point. I said, you were going to hell just like I was going to hell. And maybe still is. I don't know. But they don't see themselves in that standpoint, that they really were bad. There's not one sinner that's good. There's none righteous. And if there's not righteous, you know what being righteous is? Is being right. So there's nobody was right. Wasn't a good one among us, was there? But that's the great thing of salvation is being delivered, and we need to tell people what they need delivered. And so we need to understand with this natural man, his condition. So no matter what we did of people thinking bad, you know, because I often thought about the fact of, you know, I mean, I was an open sinner of drugs, alcohol, stuff like that. But you know what? I mean, there was people around that I knew even as a sinner that I'll tell you what, like, you know, these people that were, you know, holding things against people all the time, you know, people that were, you know, seemed like pretty nice people, but there wasn't nothing nice about them inside. They were full of all kinds of, you know, the resentment toward everybody and everything, and that they didn't realize how bad their condition was. They were as bad as they were as evil as any drunkard or any druggie, or, you know, they don't see themselves from that standpoint. But see, this is one thing. The light of the word shows up what we are. So we know with the condition of many people today, even in the church world, that the word of God's not being preached because people don't see what they were, so, or what they are at the time to be saved. And even if they don't, if you don't bring light to them, people can't change to become something better. You know, it's like everybody's worried about I might offend somebody. Yeah, I might make me a better person. Dear Lord, is that awful? You might tell me something that makes me change. Oh, is that ever awful, you ugly thing, you, to do that to me? Oh, my. So now think about this. Like, we use scriptures, and these are good for us of what God did. And Colossians 1:13 says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son. So, in other words, you as a natural man were in the kingdom of darkness under the power of the devil. That's what you were. Because if that took place, then the other had to be. So you and I, as natural men, living in the senses, we were in the kingdom of darkness. That's where we were living. That's what we were. That's where we were at. And we were under the power of the devil. Satan ruled and reigned. And I remember one time, you know, Ken Copeland talked to, I remember him telling, this is years ago, he said about somebody was marrying, you know, somebody, was a Christian was marrying a sinner. And he said, you marry that sinner, he said, now the devil's going to be your father-in-law, so... He said, don't try to get the devil out of your house. You invited him in. You won't get him out. You can't cast the devil out after you invited him. But see, that's what we were in. That was our kingdom. Satan had every legal right to dominate and rule us. He did. He had every right to do it. And he did. That's what he did. But praise God. But we were born again. So it's wonderful for us to know. See, we're delivered from the power of darkness. We are. We're delivered from it. Why? Because we're in the kingdom of God. We're spiritual beings now. We're spiritual. We are not, we're not these carnal beings. We're spiritual. You know, in Ephesians 6, it says, 6:12, the, scripture there talks about us as believers, and we understand there's an enemy who we deal with. But it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principality, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenlies. So the natural man, he needs to understand, he has no power over the devil. You and I have authority over him. That's where our wrestling, but we can stand against him. We can cast out devils, but they can't. They can't do that. So Satan will always dominate those individuals, but we have authority. So, and understand there's these spiritual forces, and, you know, it isn't, man's not just from the standpoint of what we talk about naturally good and bad, like people act like and say. There's a lot from the world standpoint. That's why, like, we see people doing things today, people say about things that are happening today, and, well, they don't understand people, how they're doing these things. Well, I understand exactly. Is when I was, Wanda and I went out to, Omaha, to visit our daughter and that stuff out there, and I just, in the town, I mean, I just when I got there, I could just tell. I could just tell. This town is filled with homosexuals. You could tell the spirit of homosexuality and lesbian. I mean, you just knew it. And every place I went around the town, I mean, it was fun. In fact, I never seen a town that had so many lesbians. Filled with lesbians. And so I was out one morning and I was out for a walk. They have a dog, and so I took their dog. Said, "I'll take your dog out for a walk and go out for a walk in the morning." And I'd go out and walk and pray, and I'd walk around and made the dog happy and made me happy. So, but I'm walking around and I'm just praying, and I said, Lord, man, what is going on? What is happening around here in this place? And the Lord spoke to me really clear. And he said, it's the spirit of the age. And he said, it's dominating even my church. It's dominating. And he's right. It's dominating. And it isn't just in Omaha. It's across the nation. Lots of the church today, the church of America, is dominated by the spirit of the age. In other words, in the spirit of the age, that's the spirit of Antichrist. That's the spirit of the age. It is dominating. That's this world system age of this thing. It's gotten into the churches. It's gotten in. People have opened up to this thing. And they're just allowing this thing. And, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, how else could they allow these things to get in your churches and that kind of thing? How people sit around and say, oh, you know, well, you know, we got to love the homosexual. I believe you love the homosexual, but you can't love what they do. And they let them in their church, and they let them in the church, and they make them feel good, and let them do stuff in the church, because we're just loving them. We're just, you know, it's amazing. This is one thing it is. I mean, the scripture's clear on the subject, but they think it's foolishness. So what do you think? You think they're Christians? Do you really think they're Christians? No, they're not. They're not. They're this world system. They're operating under this system. Satan rules over them. He rules over them through their senses, because everything is to them is through the sense knowledge. Through sense knowledge. They're trying to do whatever they can to try, you know, to make everybody happy and everything, you know, trying to being accepting of everything. That's all senses. God is not accepting of everything. And He won't be. He never will. He tells us in His Word, in the New Testament, tells us what He likes and what He don't like. There's things God does not like. He doesn't go for. Sexual immorality is one of the top things on His list He don't like. And New Testament is full of it because He doesn't like it. The last letters that He wrote, that God gave to the church that we have, the number one thing He talked about in the churches, He said more than any other thing, was the sexual immorality. And so today, that's all the things that are open, and it is. It's because people, there's so much natural, there's so many natural people that are in the churches and dominating, and they rule in the churches, in the church world. And so we have those things. Now we want to look here in Romans, what Romans speaks in Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans, the 8th chapter. Let me go back over here. I want to make sure I have here. Now he's writing to Christians. Let's look at started verse 6. Well, let's back to verse 5. Let's go back to verse 5. It says, for those who live according to the flesh. Now, he's writing to Christians. Christians could live fleshly. We're going to find out. He is really talking about a divide of people here as we go through this. For those who live according to the flesh, what do? Their mind is set on. They're set on the things of the flesh. People who live according to the flesh, their mind is set on that. Then he says, but to those who live according to the Spirit, he says, the things of the Spirit. In other words, their mind is set on the things of the Spirit. You see the difference between? The mind set on the flesh. The natural man, his mind is set on the things of the flesh. That's what his mind is set on to. He's going to measure everything by that. You're going to measure by what your mind set on. You're not going to do it any different. You can't do it any different. Whatever your mind. So if your mind is set on the Spirit, then what do you begin to do? You measure things based on spiritual things. That's the difference. And see, when you get people out here and they get around you and they see you, they think you're weird. Why? They can't understand why you measure. The spirit realm is an unseen realm, and it's a realm that they can't be taught. So they can't understand, and they think you're weird. Because they, this is the flesh is telling me this, and this is what I see such days of felt. This is it, man, this is the thing. You know, I'm doing what I'm doing, I'm feeling miserable, so I'm acting miserable. I mean, that only makes sense. You know? Why wouldn't I do that? You know? I'm being honest. How many times have you heard people say that? I'm being honest. I'm being honest. Being ugly, I'm being honest. I'm just being honest. Okay, yeah, all right. Now he says here, verse 6, for to what? To be carnally minded. Now before they use the word flesh, carnally means flesh. Carny is, they used to have the chili con carne is meat. That's what it is. It's flesh. Okay? So to be fleshly minded is what? Death. Now understand that. Dead people, the natural man is dead. And so death, that's how death is working. That's what it is. He says, what? Spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Now, listen. Because the carnal or the fleshly mind is enmity against God, or it is an enemy of God. That mind or way of thinking is the natural man's thinking is an enemy of God. He's working against God. But now understand this. We go over to the book of, in 1 Corinthians 5th chapter, it tells us God's not an enemy of man. He's not against man. But they're an enemy of God. See, there's a difference. Their thinking puts them in opposition to God. Don't put God in opposition to them. But their thinking is in opposition to God. The natural man, his thinking is in opposition to God. He's an enemy of God. He makes himself an enemy. He's working against God. That's what he's doing. God's not his enemy. Paul wrote and said he wasn't. He's not their enemy. But they are an enemy to him. That's why Paul said, you teach, preach it to people and tell them to be reconciled to God. Get reconciled. Why? God's already reconciled to man. So we're preaching reconciliation. You get right with God. God's right with you. He's okay. He wants you. So that's what we're supposed to be telling the natural man. God is not the problem. You are. No, what we're telling him is, yeah, you're a pretty nice guy. No, you're not. You're trouble. That's what I was. I was trouble. We came to Christ. We changed it. We're not in opposition to God. You know, we don't know everything. Sometimes we might have things that we don't think exactly right on with what God thinks. And that's, but it's not because we're trying to be in opposition. The natural man is in definite opposition, and he's trying to be in opposition. He's doing his thing. The natural man is pretty much his own God. He's pretty much his own God. So it says in verse 8, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Why can't they please God? They cannot walk by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. They can't please him. Why? Because faith is of the Spirit. It's spiritual. And they can't do that. No religion that is not Christianity is spiritual. It's all fleshly. You need to understand, you hear people today talk about, they use the things of spirit. They'll say, oh, this is spiritual. That's spiritual. Ain't got nothing to do with spiritual. You know, people who are, like I was involved in sorcery. Sorcery had nothing to do with spiritual from the standpoint of, what you do is you do natural things trying to have spiritual things happen. You ever look at witchcraft? Witchcraft is doing natural things trying to change something. Making some potions and all kinds of stuff and things that they do, chants, all this kind of stuff. Things that are done naturally trying to do something spiritually. It's all natural stuff. It's all natural. And see, that's what it is. The Bible never considers any other kind of faith than faith in God is spiritual. It's not, because its foundation is in man's carnality trying to replace God with his own thinking, with his own ideas. That's what it is. It's never spiritual. Now listen. Now here's what he says. Now here's what he says to the believer. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Well, is the Spirit of God in you? He said that you're not in the flesh. He said you're in the Spirit. Don't ever talk different than that. This is where a lot, I think, teaching even gets wrong in Christianity. People are always trying to get spiritual instead of saying they are. Paul wrote and told them they're spiritual. You are spiritual. You have become a spirit being that is alive to God. Now the Holy Spirit can teach you and reveal to you. The Holy Spirit, the teacher, is living inside of you to instruct you in the things of the Lord. You have a well of water into you springing up into everlasting life. That's what you have. You are a spiritual being. No one who does not have Christ is a spiritual being. They are dead in sin. Christians are alive to God. And so get that. When you see that in scriptures here, I'll tell you, I got a hold of a revelation on that many years ago. And when I saw that, I thought, hey, they ain't teaching this. We're always trying to get spiritual. Paul said, you are. I think I'm going to go with Paul. Paul did pretty good. Revelation-wise, he got a lot of it. So I thought, if he got a lot of revelation, I'm going to start believing what he said, because I could sure use some. And so to get over that thing, so the Spirit of Christ, does he live in you? He says, now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. See, people today say, well, we're all children of God. No, we ain't. The Bible's clear on the subject. We are not. You're not his. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, we do, don't we? We have the Spirit of Christ. We belong to Christ. We are spiritual. That doesn't mean we know everything. We're all still growing. But we are spiritual beings. We are dominated by the Spirit. We're spiritual. We can hear and listen to the things of the Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit in us as the teacher. We're spiritual. He can reveal things to us. So we want to keep walking that. Then that's why it goes on. So if you see that. Then he went on verse 10. He said, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. The body is dead. In other words, the domination of the senses. That's not what's ruling. That's not ruling. That's dead. He said, listen, he goes on to say, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. See, you got life in you. You got life. The body's dead. We're not dominated. See, make a confession for yourself. I'm not dominated by my senses. I'm not dominated by the flesh. It's dead. My body's dead. Hallelujah. I'm alive to God because of righteousness. Hallelujah. I got life. Then he says, but if the same Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to the mortal body. So in other words, that life working in you will keep this thing subdued in its place of what it should be, where the flesh don't dominate and rule. See, get your confession. Read these things. Go over and meditate. They're really good. These things are good. Years ago, these things, and I used to meditate on them and just getting this into me. People were praying and trying to become what they already are. This is what you are. You don't have to try to become this. This is what you are. This is, take these confessions and say them about yourself. And, maybe you messed up and walked in the flesh, but make this your confession, not what you did in the flesh. Make this your confession. Hallelujah. It'll change you. So he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Why? Through the Spirit who dwells in you. Boy, I tell you, that's good stuff. See, that's why with healing. The body wants to get over there because it's dead in sin. The body, the devil wants to dominate sickness and disease. No, we're not going to let that happen. On the inside, life on the inside is going to let the body have healing. Deliverance. The body's not good. The flesh ain't going to dominate us and rule us by the senses. We're ruled by the Spirit of what's on the inside. Hallelujah. And so get yourself, go over, take those things and meditate them. They're just really good. Especially get yourself over making a confession concerning yourself that you're in the Spirit, that you're not in the flesh. I'm in the Spirit. The Spirit of God lives in me. I am in the Spirit. Don't be surprised that over after a while you become more Spirit conscious. You will. See, I'm totally convinced because of some ways that things have been taught, people trying to get spiritual, that has been much more difficult people ever becoming spiritual. Is no, I am spiritual. I am in the Spirit. I am in the Spirit. I'm not trying to get there. The Spirit of Christ dwells in me. I'm in the Spirit. I'm in the Spirit. Praise God. And so start saying those things. You know, that becomes real to you. I will guarantee you, you will become more sensitive to what's on the inside than you will to what's on the outside. Now, you won't look at yourself as just the same type of person you were. You won't look at yourself in the same way. You know? Just trying to want to come overcome carnality doesn't work, if you haven't noticed. You know, the more you focused on trying to become less carnal, did you ever notice you almost act more carnal? Did you ever notice that? Doesn't it seem like you stumble up more in it the more you fight at that thing? Well, see, it's what happens. We get over in the areas and we don't realize we get over in the areas of works. Trying to do it through our own energies, the energy of the flesh, trying to subdue the flesh by the flesh. I'm going to beat it into submission. Well, if that would, the law couldn't beat it into submission, there's a good chance you're not going to do that. The curse of the law didn't even work. Israel didn't. So it didn't work. So get yourself over and say, oh, we ain't going there. We're staying out of this one. Hallelujah. But we found this out. Okay, we know this one thing is the natural man's mind. His mind is hostile toward God. It's hostile. Yours is not. The natural man, he won't submit himself to the word of God. But he's unable to do that. He can't do that. He's an enemy of God. He's fighting God. But like I said, God's not fighting him. The natural man, he's unable to please God. Why? Because you've got to be spiritual to walk in faith. This is proof. If you, by faith, accepted Christ, is proof that you're spiritual. Because the natural man can't walk by faith at all. He can't. If you accepted Christ, got born again, your faith caused you to be born again through Jesus Christ. Therefore, that was a spiritual act. And now you're a spiritual person. So number one, and now you have faith in God. So therefore, you have to be a spiritual person. A person who isn't born again, they might have faith about natural things. But spiritual things, they don't have faith in them. They don't have faith in those. This person is unable to do that, or unable to submit to the Word of God. The natural man, it can't please God. It's like we had Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith you can't please Him. And, you know, because when Jesus talked about just the Mark 11:23, when He said, for surely I say to you, whoever says this mountain be removed and cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he'll have what he says. See, faith is of the heart. It's of the heart. It's of the spirit. The fact that you have faith in God is proof that the things that you have faith and you stand in faith over. Look at the things that you've stood in faith for God over the years. Look at the things that you walk by faith in. They're proof of your spiritual. They're proof of your spirituality. Everything that I don't care if you sit down and say, well, I haven't really had any great miracles, but you tell me God never did nothing for you? Anything you believe God for and you have gotten along and it's worked every time. I didn't tell you believe God for, you stubbed your toe. I don't care what it was. And you got delivered. You used your faith, and that's a sign of spirituality. You trusted God. And that is an act of faith that is through faith of the Spirit. That's believing something in your heart. Believing in your heart. You're operating out of the Spirit. So the natural man. So, but he's ruled by his senses. He cannot operate in the area of the Spirit. He can't do that. He's unable. The natural man only has human knowledge. Is the natural man, he only has knowledge of the senses and what the senses can do. A spiritual man has revelation. Understand this. Revealed through the Word of God. There's a difference between, a totally difference. Of revelation. God's word comes through revelation of the Spirit. There is no other way to get it. You cannot, if the Holy Spirit is not bringing revelation, I don't care how much you study the Bible. I always like to just to prove that out. I like to go to those TV shows where they turn around and they have like on the cable, they'll have those different ones, like a History Channel every once in a while, or someone's put on those things, they'll have shows about Bible stuff. And I always love to go over, and they have these scholars come out, and they tell you, they'll say, well, the Bible says this or that or the other thing. 99% they're wrong. 90%, some percent of the time, the Bible never says what they said. Why? How do they come up with that? They're natural men looking in the Bible, and they come up with all these ideas that the Bible teaches certain things, and it doesn't say it at all. Why? They can't even see what words say on a page. They can't even see that. Why? Because the Bible is a revelation from God. That's why when people don't really know, I know people who sit down, and even Christians, who, you know, they have every day, they read through the Bible every year. You know, they might as well read a magazine of some sort, because it doesn't no more, because it's just general, they just generally just read. It isn't a thing they look at faith and relying on the Holy Spirit to instruct and teach them, but that's what the Holy Spirit, that's what being spiritual is. Is the Holy Spirit saying, you know, the Holy Spirit, as I read, the Holy Spirit's going to reveal things to me. Because see, I'm in the Spirit. I'm spiritual. And that's what he does. It's his job. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, this is what he's going to do. He's going to guide you and lead you into all the truth. So if I'm reading, he's going to give me revelation. That's what he does. It's not things that I'm thinking of. I'm not trying. I don't have to try to think it up. You know, I've learned this years. When I first started off, I used to try to figure stuff. Sometimes scriptures, and I just, man, what's this thing trying to say? I'm trying to look at it, try to go. And I don't do that anymore. Now I sit down and I read things, and I'll just say, I just stop and I say, Lord, you know what this is about. Holy Spirit, I want to thank you that you'll teach me about this. I don't push to try to find, because number one, if the Holy Spirit is not revealing, it is not good to start doing your own study. That's not a smart thing to do. I found this out when I turn around over there, things along, other scriptures will come to my mind, and I'll go over and start. After a while, I'll say, oh, okay. Other things will start coming. After a while, this is what makes sense. Sometimes I've had things where, for a good long period of time, I just was not picking up. Sometimes we don't pick up on our spirit, and that's why you don't want to push to wherever you. And I realized after a time the Holy Spirit was trying to show me something, but I was sort of wasn't paying attention to that, because I didn't see how mentally it related to what I was trying to figure out. And then I found out, oh, hold it, he was trying to show me something. You go over and you start looking. Allow the Holy Spirit to teach you. Allow him to do that. And he will. He'll instruct you. He'll bring light to you. You know, it's good to, I mean, there's nothing wrong with sitting down and reading through the scriptures. Sometimes I just, you know, I'll sit down and I just, a certain maybe book of the Bible, I just may go in and read over and over again. And I might, sometimes then I run, usually what happens to me is I run into a chapter or a certain section of a chapter, I'll sort of get stuck at it. Just, it seems like something talks to me there, and I'll just maybe for a week go back over that thing and just read that part over and over and over again. And I just, it just catches me. And you have to learn to do that. Learn to find out what's speaking to you at the time. You know, don't get so stuck on an agenda. See, it's one thing. I don't do read through the Bibles anymore. I don't do those. I did that. No, sir, I have nothing against reading through the Bible. Read through the Bible. But I'm terrible at that, because I get stuck at a place for 2 months. It starts speaking to me there. And I just it's like when the Holy Ghost is teaching, I figure, don't be dumb, Ed. While he's talking about something, just go over there and let him, till he's done with you there, then go on to something. But when you come to the place and he's talking, then stay there and let him talk to you. You know, just go back over again and just keep getting him. When he's talking to you into something, when something starts to speak to you. You know, Kenneth Hagin, I learned from him about just reading books. He said, you know, there's people over the years saying certain books were really good books and that stuff. He said, I would read some, they did nothing for me, but he said, I had certain books that really spoke to me, and he said, over the years, I always kept a copy of those books, and he said, they're books that spoke to me. You have to learn to what God speaks to you through, or what he does, is learn that. You know, there's things that I have in books that I have, that I have a certain section of books, probably about 20 books, that God really speaks to me through his book, and over the years, he has had me go back and, you get that book out again, and I'll get it out. Start reading. Sometimes it's not to read the whole, but he'll go up and tell me a certain section of the book I need to go back over to read. And I go back, and that thing starts to speak to me, and then other things come to me. It's somehow that triggers to me. What, you know, something else might trigger you. And you got to find out what speaks to you. Because lots of times God uses that channel of what speaks to you, and he uses that even to come along to talk to you about things that might not even be related specifically to that. Is learn that about yourself. certain things trigger you. And God knows that. And so let that, don't think you're weird. Where people get wrong is somebody does something a certain way, then they go teach and it works for them, then everybody's supposed to do it that way. Yeah. Now everybody does. It doesn't work like that. You got to find out what's talking to you and what's speaking to you, and let God speak to you in that area. Let Him do that. Find things that work, you know. And it's just like with me, it's reading the Bible. I mean, people are, I know people say, well, yeah, reading through it. It's good to generally read through the Bible. I mean, when I was in Bible school, we even had courses. You generally went through the Bible and that kind of stuff, and general study of the whole Bible and that kind of things. You do those things. And they're good. There are a lot of enlightening things you get from those kinds of things. But anymore, God leads me into things, and where I go over into things and spend time in stuff in certain areas, and I do that. And I think you're going to find, as you mature and you grow and you learn more about things, you're going to find more of yourself like that. I think that's generally where people are going to go. Because when we started off, lots of times what we're trying to do is sort of get a little bit of an overall view of some things. That's where we're at. But as we grow in areas, we're going to find that we become, you know, certain things where God will, because of your knowledge of areas, God will take you to things. And so you want to keep yourself open to that. As you get older in the Lord is what speaks to you, and how finding out how He works with you and how you work with Him. And you don't have to copy somebody else's, like what the Lord said to me concerning any areas of pastor, and He told me to throw the book, it was one book away they gave me at Rhema. He said that pastor, he said, I used him in a certain way, and he wrote a book like everybody's supposed to do what he did. You know, there's certain things you give people information, but sometimes they take it and they think everybody's supposed to do this. You're supposed to be like I am. Well, you're not. You know, it's just like the offices that I stand in. If you're not called to them, you ain't going to do it. So you can go through all the rigmarole and do whatever you want, but it ain't going to work. So I can't tell you to do things concerning the office that I do, because you're going to have to find what you're called to and how God uses you. That's what you're going to have to find out. I mean, that's just it. There's no other way. You know, I thank God the things I learned from other ministers, but I've learned over the years that God uses me different than other ministers. He uses me in different ways. And I had to learn, because, you know, it was very helpful when I started out learning from other ministers. But I found out as I went along, you almost get crippled. You get too much of tied to how another minister ministers. It's fine if God uses you in the same way that He uses him. It might be good. But if He doesn't, I see people already in that stuff that are called to ministries, and they're hooked to the wrong minister. And what they're doing is they're hooking to a wrong anointing, and they can't get over into their flow. They can't get there doing that. And is finding out what works for you, what helps you along, and tie to that, and it'll help you and bless you. And so you want to walk, but first of all, start off talking about the fact that you're in the Spirit. That will help you a lot. Hallelujah. We walk by faith. See, we're people of the Spirit. We can walk by faith and not by sight. We can, because we're in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Because it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. You can be led by the Spirit. You sure? Because why? You're in the Spirit. You are in the Spirit. So the natural man can't understand the Bible because it's spiritually understood. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we're going to stop there. We'll do a little bit more of that. We have some things to talk about. But we're dealing with the areas there. We're talking about the walk. We walk by faith and not by sight. The natural man, he can't do that. He's unable to do that. Hallelujah. So don't think it's strange sometime when you get around people, you know, they say they're Christians. But I'll tell you what. Now, I've run into Christians that... And I, you find out that they are born again, but my, you wonder. But you know, lots of times we're dealing with people who they're saying they're Christians, and you just wonder why just nothing really sets with everything you try to do to help them never works, never helps. You need to stop and say, hey, hold it. I might be causing more problems than good in this thing. I'm trying to deal with them as spiritual, and they're not. I need to quit that. Is to help them, is to deal with them on the level they're at, when you're trying to deal with somebody who's not a Christian as a Christian, it's just defeated. That's defeated. That, you're just going to cause more trouble than good. And so understand that when you're dealing with people, and many times we're dealing with individuals who are not Christians. Just because they say they're a Christian does not make them a Christian. Don't make them a child of God. They're not been born again. They're just, you know, they have some religious things. They can quote a couple of scriptures. You know, so here's an example. You guys remember the guy that lived here in town at that elderly housing thing? That, you remember you guys asking about going over there and what we found out about it? Now, this is what happened. Didn't he seem like a Christian? Oh. He was talking. Oh, he's talking things Christian. He had Kenneth Hagin books. He had Copeland books. He had Charles Capps books. I think he had anybody of any major at that time. So he had notebooks of notes that he took from their stuff. But see, nothing was working for him. He just couldn't get a hold. And you know, we were there, and the whole time I'm thinking with this guy, he's talking this up. What is going on here? Just nothing, just registering. And we're getting ready to leave, and I'm just, what's going on? And finally, I just talked to him about salvation. I found out he wasn't even born again. He didn't believe Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. He said, I don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. And I said, then right away I knew, well, there's no way you can read all these books, you can take notes on all these books, you can do all, why? The Holy Spirit can't reveal this stuff to you. You're not God's child. You're not. And I just told him, I said, Till you believe the Bible, I said, you can't be born again. You're wasting your time with all this. I said, this is all a waste of time. Well, somewhat it's the way some things are taught. Because some people, they're trying to teach the sinners the Word of God, trying to teach the sinner how to be blessed using the principles of God. And see, people come along and they see this stuff and they want the money, they want this stuff, I want to believe God, I want to have this, I want to really have a good life, I want to have all these things. But Jesus ain't in the list of things because they've never told him that the rest of that stuff ain't what's important. It's Jesus, and they've never been told that. They've been told the stuff is important. All the stuff. Believe in God for the stuff. Get in the God. And they've heard that stuff, you know. As a PTL used to do that. That's when they had, Amway, I guess it was, or? When they had those guys that the guy that was, I remember the running Amway, and I said, they'd have him on PTL. And he's talking about how they would get people, not just Christians, but sinners, and they would teach them the principles of God to how to prosper. And I thought, what are you doing? Ungodly is crazy. They were talking about, we have a Christian organization. Just because there's a Christian in the thing, don't make it a Christian organization. It don't become Christian because a Christian's in it. I had these people over the years say, I have a Christian business. I said, we'll find out. See how you do your business. We'll find out in short order whether there's any Christian in it. And loads of times, there wasn't no Christian in it. It's a business and you're a Christian, you idiot. It don't, the business ain't Christian. There ain't Christian businesses. We'll find out how you conduct yourself. We'll see whether or not. Yeah. It's like when I was in Rhema, they told us that they got to the point where they wouldn't even hire Christians from Christian businesses to work for them because of how bad they did. But they would use their Christianity as a way to do sloth of job work, and you were supposed to, because they were Christians, you were supposed to accept it. And, so, you know, they had that kind of stuff was going on, and so we should never do that. We should always have, if anybody should, you know, do what's right, we should do what's right. That's just being a good business person. That's what a Christian business person, but it don't matter how the Christian in charge, don't mean a business is going to be any good. We'll find out how that turns out. Hallelujah. A closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for instructing us and guiding us, leading us into the truth tonight. Father, I am so thankful to be born again. I'm so thankful to be a child of God. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit who lives and dwells in us, the one who guides us and leads us into truth. Thank you, Lord God. Father, help us, Lord God, especially in the ministry to people who think they're Christians. Lord, there's so many out here that they use the term Christian. Lord God, give us wisdom and understanding of how to minister and talk to them. Because we do want them to come into the light of the truth where they're born again. We want them to come to that. And I ask you to help us, Lord God. Lord, it isn't just being real smart. Lord God, we need the help of your Spirit. We need spiritual understanding. We need spiritual comprehension, and you will give those things to us. And we thank you, Lord God. We also thank you for spiritual gifts in operation, Lord God, to help us to bring them to the place to come to the knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.